Antony and Cleopatra by William Shakespeare. Introduced by Richard Eyre.
Antony and Cleopatra is Shakespeare's most luxuriant tragedy. The action sprawls around the Mediterranean as it gives historical form to the mythical encounter between Venus, the god of love, and Mars, the god of war. The play is structured upon a series of oppositions, female and male, desire and duty, age and youth, and above all, Egypt and Rome. "Nay, but this dotage of our general o'erflows the measure," says a Roman soldier in the very opening line. Mark Antony does indeed dote on Cleopatra. From the Roman point of view, it's a monstrous embarrassment that one of the three men who rule their great empire should be disporting himself like an infatuated teenager. Perhaps he's indeed entering his dotage, approaching the second childhood of old age. But from the Egyptian point of view, the power of desire is something that transcends the petty world of tribal politics. The love of Antony and Cleopatra does find out new heaven, new earth. Just as the opening line of the play overflows into the next, so the liquid imagery of Egypt, with the River Nile at its heart, overcomes the measured rigidity of Rome. At the end of the drama, that rigidity prevails, and young Octavius Caesar is left in sole charge of the empire. But all the poetry of the play has been inspired by the Egyptian side. From Aenobarbus' entranced memory of Cleopatra's barge, to her final enrobing for the serpent's kiss of death, the language which Cleopatra inspires works its powerful magic upon the listener. Theatre's power to create illusion is of a piece with Cleopatra's seductive arts.
But this dotage of our generals o'erflows the measure. Those his goodly eyes that o'er the files and musters of the war have glowed like plated Mars, now bend, now turn the office and devotion of their view upon a tawny front. His captain's heart, which in the scuffles of great fights hath burst the buckles on his breast, reneges all temper, and is become the bellows and the fan to cool a gypsy's lust. Look where they come. Take but good note, and you shall see in him the triple pillar of the world transformed into a strumpet's fool. Behold and see.
Is it be love indeed? Tell me how much.
There's beggary in the love that can be reckoned.
How set a born, how far to be beloved?
Then must thou needs find out new heaven, new earth.
News, my good lord, from Rome.
Greet me. Some.
Nay, hear them, Antony. Fulvia, perchance, is angry. Or who knows if the scarce-bearded Caesar have not sent his powerful mandate to you. Do this or this, take in that kingdom and enfranchise that, performed, or else we damn thee.
How, my love?
Perchance. Nay, and most like. You must not stay here longer. Your dismission is come from Caesar, therefore hear it, Antony. Where's Fulvia's process? Caesar's, I would say. Both. Call in the messengers. As I am Egypt's queen, thou blushest, Antony, and that blood of thine is Caesar's ometra. Else so thy cheek pays shame when shrill-tongued Fulvia scolds. The messengers!
Let Rome and Tiber melt! And the wide arch of the ranged empire fall. Here is my space. Kingdoms are clay. Our dungy earth alike feeds beast as man. The nobleness of life is to do thus. And such a mutual pair, and such a twain can do it, in which I bind on pain of punishment the world to wheat. We stand up peerless.
Excellent, Forbeshood. Why did he marry Fulvia and not love her? I'll seem the fool I am not.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?